Dr. Patricia Knoll is a counselor who's been working with people for decades. She's also a drug addiction specialist, and she's an acupuncturist. In addition, she's an author of the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you listen to this each week and you buy her book, you too can proudly be good with me. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. So glad you're here with us. Now, we want to get right into it. You heard the sound. That means it's time for our usual time with Dr. Patricia Knowles. We go through her book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. You need to get a copy of this book. I'm telling you, it's changing my life. It'll do the same for you. You go to goodwithme.com and order yourself a copy. Get one for everybody, you know. Go ahead and make it the thing you give to everybody. Because I'm telling you, what you're giving them is the gift of the chance to start over again. And to be good with yourself. And to be good around everyone in your life. It'll change everything for you. I promise you, it's that good of a book. Now, we're into chapter 5 right now, Doc.
Yes, okay? We are.
Which is exciting because we start to get into the real root of everything now. So chapter 5 is called The Four Attachments. What are the four attachments?
The four attachments are the need for approval, the need to look good, the need to be right, and the need to control the outcome of things.
Right here at the very beginning of the chapter, you wrote, the root of suffering is attachment. Buddha said that. Why is that at the top of the chapter?
Because think about the things that we're so attached to and how we just hurt ourselves because we think we have to have it and we can't do without it. And so they're suffering from that. We aren't happy because we think we have to have something that we don't have.
You say right here at the beginning of the chapter that it's much the same as how an alcoholic becomes controlled by the drink, by actual booze.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. We become controlled by all kinds of things, and especially this need for approval. Because when, as we discussed in the last episode, when we have other dependent esteem, it's leads to the need for approval from others. We don't approve of ourselves, so we have to get it from someone else.
So we literally become slaves to these four attachments.
Totally.
And we have no real understanding of it. We have no understanding that it's actually happening. It's like it's on a subconscious level, isn't it?
It is.
And so that makes it really hard to understand that that's what's going on.
Yes.
Or to change it. Or to even say, hey, wait a minute, I want to change it. You know, that desire to even want to change it is hard to come through because it's so ingrained in our self-conscious and in our subconscious.
Absolutely. We aren't even aware of the idea that the fact that these four attachments are running everything we do.
Are they separate or are they intertwined?
They're very intertwined, although we could have one without the other. We don't have to have all four exactly. However, mostly what happens is we have all four of them. You know, if we control the outcome, then we get to be right, then we get to look good, and then we get the approval that we want so desperately because we're so worried about what people are thinking about us.
So again, the need for approval from others, the need to look good, the need to be right, and the need to control outcomes. Is any one of them more important than the others?
Not.
No.
No. Because every one of them is self-deprecating. We put ourselves down if we aren't looking good enough, if we aren't right. Have you ever met anyone who just fights to the nth degree to be right?
Yes.
Just so they can look good?
Yeah, sure.
And what good does it do? Except that the need is so great to be right because we think that that's where approval comes from.
This causes us to be constantly in a continuous state of worry about what other people think of us.
Well, we're already in a state of worry about what other people think of us, which is why these four attachments are so powerful.
Think of how much energy is wasted, how much stress we put on ourselves for that.
Totally. And especially, Pete, think about how much stress is put on us now in the holiday season. Just a few days left, and everybody is just stressed to the max because what you want to get the right gift so that you get approval and you look good and you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. And you angst over what it's going to be like to be with family that maybe you're always comparing yourself to someone else in the family.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, or you have to be right and you get into arguments at the family dinner.
Yeah. Or even how you do the outside of your house, the Christmas display of lights that you do at your house. I actually coined a word. I actually turned Griswold into a verb. Okay? That you've been out Griswolded.
All right.
Okay? Because if you remember in the movie Christmas Vacation, he goes all out, Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase, to try to have the best lights on the house in the whole block. And what he winds up doing is, you know, explodes and all this other kind of stuff. We do that. We see somebody setting up a nice display in front of their house. Now we have to run out, spend all this money, all this energy and effort, and we get maniacal about it so that ours looks better than this. For why?
For what? To look good.
Yeah.
And to get approval. Wow, that looks great. Look at you.
Wow. And again, that stress is killing us.
It is.
Okay. It takes years off your life. It causes serious health issues.
From
all this worry. And think about the energy expended. Think of how all that energy could be expended, how you could use that in a positive way.
That's right.
If you weren't wasting all that energy stressing out and worrying about what everybody thinks about you.
That's right. That's right. What could you possibly accomplish? It would be just enormously wonderful.
And that can happen, though. We can get to the point where that energy can be redirected. It can be re-channeled into something good instead of being, you know, in this self-dependent way. That's what the book is all about. That's your goal.
That's right.
This, you know,
that's
is to get them to the point. Now, you know, it certainly applies to physical traits that people have. Everybody's got their own body appearance issues. I do. Everybody does. Maybe you don't because you're so pretty, Doc.
Oh, thank you.
It's okay.
All right.
But a lot of people do. So that becomes one that really kind of sticks at people is their body image or their appearance, what they look like.
That's right. And it's so important that we lose sight of a lot of other things because all we can see is, oh my gosh, how do I look? What is my weight, my height? You know, there are mega buck industries that
exploit
are just
that.
Yes, exploited, and they're just geared toward looking good.
And especially, you mentioned in the book, wardrobe, what we wear is an expression of who we are. So everybody's got to always have the hippest, coolest thing and everything like that. I mean, obviously, I don't. That's a given. You can just take a look at what I'm wearing. I don't care what people think of what I'm wearing. That's one of the few areas where I don't have any problems. I'm going to wear what I feel makes me comfortable and what I think looks good, and I don't really care what anybody else thinks, but so many people do. And they'll spend ridiculous amounts of money on a pair of pants or one shirt, enough to do a car payment or more, or mortgage payment on a shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or look at the shoe style for ladies these days and how so many of them are ruining their feet totally by wearing shoes that just don't work. They're so high.
Well, they're ruining more than that. Their posture, they're ruining their spines, they're ruining their hips, they're ruining their knees and their ankles just so they can...
All to look good.
Yeah, yeah.
And get approval.
Yeah, and it's really a horrible way to look at things. All right, but it's not just those tangible things, all right, like body image and wardrobe, their hair, your weight, all that stuff, the height, but there's also a lot of intangible traits, too. Talk to me about those.
Well, they're being successful and accomplished. And again, just be socially acceptable to others, socially appropriate, feel like you have worth in your social surroundings.
And see, that's so that we put so much thought on whether we're socially acceptable. Now, when you were in the sixth grade, there was some value to that, I guess. Again, it wasn't real value, but there was some, whether you sat at the cool table or you sat at the nerd table, and whether you were accepted or you were an outcast. But now, as adults, really, we put so much energy into that? It seems so
ridiculous.
And
we do, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And we totally do. It depends on, you know, again, even who you know the right people, that you are social with the right group of people.
It seems so ridiculous.
And that just depends on what your right group is, too, by the way.
And in the exploration and discovery for this chapter, you ask people, do they identify with any of the four attachments? And if so, which ones and what ways? Again, to make a list. Mm-hmm. It's important for them to be honest here about it and go through all four attachments and really look at themselves. That's hard to do, but it's important in the exercise here.
It's very difficult to do, really just get what I call dirt honest with ourselves.
Yeah, but that's the way to make this happen, is to do these exploration discovery exercises that you ask at the end of each chapter, and to be blunt, honest with ourselves and put them down and write them down and make them tangible, make them see, well, wait a minute, this is what's happening.
Yes, and to remember that when you're doing it, this isn't for anyone else. You don't have to show your list to anyone. This is just for you.
That's right. And so that makes it a little easier. So not just keeping it to yourself, but it's really helpful, especially when you write them down. You actually see them. You're like, wow, okay, this is for real. Okay, I have work to do here. So that's, but that's good. That's a good thing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the attachment number one, the need for approval from others. We'll deal with that when we come right back. I love you and I love Jesus.
Looking for a place to worship, belong, and serve with other believers? Join us at Abundant Life Ministries at 1550 Belcher Road South in Largo. We are a life-giving, spirit-filled church that is culturally relevant but biblically sound. We're about loving God and loving people. Our five purposes are worship, connect, grow, serve, and share. Sunday services are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1 p.m. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is family night with something for all ages, including nursery, kids clubs, the Tribe Student Ministries, the Well Young Adult Group, Celebrate Recovery, and Adult Bible Study. We are an outreach church that is active in the community, the region, and all over the world. Pastor Anthony McDaniel and his wife Kendra have been immersed in ministry since childhood and have been serving this community faithfully for over 20 years. Check out our television broadcast on WCLF Christian Television Network Channel 2 or HD Channel 1002 on Sundays at 10 a.m. with a rebroadcast on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Visit our website and see a live stream of our services at ALM.TV. Like us on Facebook to see what's going on and check out our YouTube channel at Abundant Life 1550.
Patricia Knoll, you're on a mission to help everybody be good with me. What does that mean?
That means I'm redefining self-esteem so everyone can feel good about who they are.
And how do you do that?
I do that with individual and group counseling, with a webinar, with online courses, and also with the book, Good With Me.
We got to get people to understand, they actually pay attention to the fact that they're actually thinking bad thoughts, right?
That's right. Most people are thinking negatively about themselves and they don't even know it. So it's just running their lives.
So once you get them to notice that in counseling, then you can get them to learn how to
see what they're thinking and then change it.
And learn how to have fun doing it, right?
Absolutely. It's all about the fun.
You can practice being good with me. And if you want to be good with me, then I want you to call Patricia Knoll at 727-424-1270. Again, that's 727-424-1270 or
go to goodwithme.com.
Final arrangements. Are you prepared? If not, call Wayne Bright at Wilson Funeral Home in Tampa. Wayne and his staff can assist you in planning all of your prearranged funeral needs. They offer traditional and non-traditional funeral services with available cremation and can even handle any shipping you may require. They are conveniently located at 3000 North 29th Street in Tampa. Call Wayne today at 813-248-6125. That's 813-248-6125. Or visit our webpage at wilson-funeralhome.com. Wilson Funeral Home. You're not just our client, you're our boss.
Pain Was My Friend, a truly inspirational story of overcoming pain written by Pete O'Shea. Pain Was My Friend was 2015's biggest selling book with the word pain in it. The story of a man, possibly a myth, entertainer extraordinaire, who struggled with back pain after a serious auto accident. It's a must read, says Weekly Reader, and Highlights Magazine has it as one of the year's top 1,000 inspirational books of the century. Read the book Pain Was My Friend. Be inspired. Available at painwasmyfriend.com. Go there and please buy this book. It will help you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you have a beautiful and joyous Christmas for you and your family. And again, don't forget the real reason for the season, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Now, we're in the middle of our time with Dr. Patricia Knoll, the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you're just joining us in the first segment, we talked about the four attachments. Those four attachments are the need for approval from others, the need to look good, the need to be right, and the need to control outcomes. And this all comes with what we talked about earlier, the other-dependent self-esteem, where you are dependent on others to have any self-esteem. We all go through this, guys. Don't live in denial. It's not just a river in Egypt. All right, now, we're going to get into chapter 6 of the book, which is going through attachment number 1, the need for approval from others. Right at the beginning, you have a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt in the book, "Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent." Talk to me about that.
And yet we consent to that every day, all the time. If someone says, "Oh, that looks awful. I can't believe you're wearing that today." Oh my gosh, then what happens? We feel bad instantly. I remember years ago someone did that to me with a blouse that I was wearing.
Who did? Who would say that?
Yeah, someone did. And you know what? I never wore that blouse again. I took it off. I put it away. I probably gave it to Goodwill or something. I don't even know what happened to it. But I never wore it again because someone said, "Oh, that looks like duck feathers."
Wow. For me, it's my hair, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just got a haircut, and she cut it too short after I told her not to. When I cut my hair too short, it accentuates the size of my ridiculously large head. And people will mock it. People will say something. And then it really makes me self-conscious of it. And I'm looking in the mirror constantly at the size of my head. It really shouldn't matter to me. And it doesn't change the size of my head. But it affects me.
And so then as we get further along in this, we're going to learn how to shift the thinking so that you really like the size of your head.
Okay.
And it won't matter. And you'll start to see it differently through softer eyes.
Very cool. That's okay. That's something we all need is those softer eyes. And we're going to show you how to do that. That's why you got to tune in each week, because right. Dr. Noel is going to show you how to get there. So right away, you say to everybody right in the book, in chapter 6, you say, "What do you think other people are thinking about you?"
Right. Do we really have any idea what other people are thinking about us? Or are we just making it up? And are we making it up based on the way we're thinking about us? Take what you just said, Pete, about the size of your head and your haircut, and you don't know that anybody else ever even notices that, but you think they do.
Because I'm really self-conscious about it.
That's right. So if you weren't self-conscious about it, you wouldn't even think anyone was thinking anything about it.
Yeah, and I will, you know, go to the barber, and that's the first thing I say to them. I don't even say hello.
Right.
I don't even say, "How are you?"
Right.
"Don't cut it too short. I have a ridiculously large head. Don't do that to me." And I wasn't paying attention. And she all of a sudden she's shearing. And I never want them to touch me with the shears, you know. And then here you go. Now I got to look like a giant eraser.
So you're really attached to looking good.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I want to.
Well, maybe you already look good. So it's like shifting the way you see yourself.
Early on in the chapter, you put in an exploration and discovery. I like that when you do that, because now you're asking everybody to get engaged in the chapter. So before you go any further, can you identify with what other people really think about you? Wow. Can you actually identify with what other people think? That's not easy to do, is it?
No, it isn't.
No.
How would you know unless you ask them? And then how would you know that they're really being honest with you?
They're probably not being honest with you.
Well, we don't know, do we?
Well, for the most part, somebody would at that point want to protect your feelings. So they're not going to tell you what they really think about you, or what they really think about what you're wearing, or what your head looks like, or any of that kind of stuff. So again, unless you can be a mind reader, it's really hard for you to really get it. But yet we already assume that's what people are thinking. We already assume it's the worst, and then we let that affect us.
And we think that that's what they're thinking and it's the worst because that's what we're thinking about us, and we project what we're thinking on them.
So why is a society, does it matter so much?
Why is a society? Because we've been taught by media, and now we have all kinds of media today. We have the World Wide Web about how we're supposed to look, because what does it do? It sells haircuts, it sells clothing, it sells new cars. It's a marketing strategy.
Yeah. Well, even when we need to make a major life decision, we ask everybody else, and right. We sit there paralyzed by fear, and in the end, we take a vote, and whoever wins the vote, then that's what we do with our lives.
Right. We want someone else's opinion, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And why do we want someone else's opinion? Because we don't trust our own.
Yeah, so we wind up being so dependent on that we'll never trust our own.
Right, and so we trust someone else's opinion, who is also probably other-dependent.
Right.
And so we still don't get to the real root of something.
So one of the next question that you ask here of the reader is a really, I think, one of the most important questions you ask. Mm-hmm. How important is approval from others to you? Now, you want honesty here, right? I mean, this is something
Absolutely.
We all have to be honest about, you know?
Absolutely.
How much do you depend upon it? And how do you know if you're good enough or not, if you're not getting any, right?
How much do you let someone else's opinion of you run your life?
Wow. That's a big one.
That is a big one.
And that one, you know, again, for a long time, we've all lived in denial of the answer to that question. And so now to really be honest with ourselves, in a way it's scary, but in a way it's freeing too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's totally freeing. And without that, what we become are chameleons. Oh, if I'm this way, you approve of me. So that's what I'm going to be, at least when I'm around you.
Wow, and then you'll change depending on who you're in front of based on what you think. Yeah, oh, this one thinks I'm funny, so I'll be funny in front of them. This one thinks I'm very spiritual, so I'll be very spiritual in front of them. This person thinks I'm this. And you become different people for whoever you're in front of, don't you?
That's right. That's right. So we lose our own identity and we have none of our own. It just is based on what other people think of us and how we think they want us to be.
Well, I'll also go back to the other point we made in the first segment. Look at how much effort you're wasting.
That's right. That's right.
To try and stay in tune to that.
Right.
And to change that many times, that requires quite a lot of energy wasted.
It does. And I want to make a point here so that the person who says, well, I don't give a rat's patootie what anybody thinks about me, I don't want to let them off the hook because that's just another manifestation of the need for approval. Look how good I am. I don't care. But that's a looking good thing as well.
And so we wind up making day-to-day decisions. Big decisions like where to live and what kind of job to take, because we let other people sway those decisions.
Yes.
And it's not even what's best for us.
Yes. And we don't even think twice about it. As long as we're getting the approval from others, that is so important for us to believe that we have any esteem for ourselves or any self-worth.
You make an example here. Again, you brought up an article of clothing earlier. So you go into the store mm-hmm. and you pick up an article of clothing and you think it looks pretty good, right? But then you don't buy it.
Right.
Why? Why don't we buy it?
Well, we do buy it, I think. You know, we bought it and then we needed someone else's opinion to tell us that it was good enough. How often do we ask the sales clerk, you know, how do we look in this?
Or every time.
Every time. Or the sales clerk is standing at the door. Hey, how are you doing with that? How does that look? You know? And then they say, oh, that's awesome. You look great in that.
I know certain people cannot go shopping unless they bring somebody with them. They have to have that mirror, that person to bounce stuff off of.
Right.
And or else, you know, nobody's going to, they're not going to buy anything. They're never
right.
going to get anything.
So we buy that piece of clothing based on a salesperson's opinion, someone we don't even know who doesn't know us other than we walked in to buy an article of clothing. So we get it home, and then what happens? Mom or your significant other or a sibling says, yuck, that looks awful on you. What were you thinking? And then you go, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? I thought the sales clerk knew what she was doing or he was doing. And now that, so what do? We take it back.
Right. And in all that, our opinion never came into the equation.
Not at all.
Not one bit.
Not at all. And then when we take it back, we hope the same sales clerk isn't there because we don't want to look bad,
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness. That's so right. It's so, oh, my God. What a circle that is, huh?
Isn't it?
You know? So in the next exploration and discovery, which I love these and they're important, guys, when you get the book to do them, how important are the opinions of others about you? Do you allow other people's opinions of you to determine the choices you make? These are critical questions they've got to answer.
They are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, again, they affect us in so many ways, and they influence our decisions. We denounce our favorite color. We denounce who we are. We denounce what we care about because someone else didn't like it.
Yeah. Things that just seem very unimportant. You know, what kind of flower do you like? I don't know. What kind of flower am I supposed to like?
Yeah, what kind do you like? And then you like, you know, or you hear somebody say, oh, that color, blah, blah. And then you say, oh, yeah, I agree with you. Even though, you know, you like
right.
that, you know.
Right.
Or song, that's a good one because, well,
yes.
I don't like that song. And you'll go along with it. No, I don't like that song either. But you really do like that song, you know. But it's not cool to like that song. So you denounce it. You deny it.
That's right. That's right. You won't own it. So you denounce your own identity.
So silly we do that. But again, there's ways to get over that. And that's what comes in this book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. Dr. Noel, thanks so much. This is great stuff. We're going to pick up next week right from here.
Perfect.
We're learning so many great things from you. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thank
I will
you.
Be right back. I love you and I love Jesus.